track 12, and now we come to this week's feature. And the item this week is from TNF Soundings. 2025 is the 50th anniversary of Junko Tobai, a Japanese mountaineer and teacher, becoming the first woman to conquer Mount Everest. It's read for us by Liz.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz from East Kilbride here. Now, here is someone that you may hear a lot about during 2025, since 2025 will mark 50 years since her greatest climb. Now, there's a clue, because my choice today is Junko Tobai, who, 5 feet tall, often underestimated, was in 1975 the first woman to climb Everest. So let's hear her story. Born in 1939 in the Japanese town of Fukushima, she was the fifth daughter of seven children. And her father apparently said, upon realising there was another girl in the house, said, "Oh no, not again." Well, here, this is what happened. The family weren't wealthy. Her dad was a printer, and of course, the cost of raising all these children. But as a young girl, she loved the outdoor trips that were organised by her school. And these included hill walking and exploring the countryside. And especially climbing hills appealed to her, because she loved the fact that they were all there together and it wasn't competitive, as well as the joys of the fresh air and seeing the countryside. The idea of pursuing mountaineering was way, way out of her range of ideas. So she completed her school years, went to university, qualified as a teacher of English, and when she was at university, saw that there was a mountaineering club. So our wee gal, Junko, decided to join the mountaineering club. She was the only woman. There were many of the male climbers who thought this was a great idea, more inclusive, welcome women. There was, however, and sadly, a small minority who were not welcoming, thinking either she was on the lookout for a man or she wouldn't manage the hills, she would hold them back. She gloriously proved them wrong. And there's even a bit of romance to tell you about, because after she'd been accepted by the club and was showing she was every bit as good, if not better, than her fellow climbers, she was spotted by a very nice mountaineer called Tobai. And the romantic story is that he went up ahead of her into the snowfields and perched himself up ahead so that when she climbed over the ridge, he was sitting there, can you believe this, in the snow. He had opened a tin of fruit salad and he had put snow on top of the fruit salad and offered it to Junko as a kind of sorbet of the mountainside. Well, whether she thought it was a bit realistic or a bit crazy, they were married. This did not hold back her climbing ideas. She formed the first Japanese women's mountaineering club, and it wasn't to just be gentle hills. They set their sight on serious mountaineering and beyond Japan. She was a member of a team climbing the Nepalese mountain of Annapurna. And in the solidarity of the women's club, they found a strength and a determination such that when she returned to Japan, she decided to just really go for the best she could aim for, Everest, forming the Japanese Women's Everest Expedition. She always rejected sponsorship, so money was very tight. She also rejected the ideas in the newspapers that these women should be at home raising their children instead. So they went ahead with their plans, often making some of their own equipment She cut out waterproof gloves to try and make waterproof gloves that would be good enough for climbing the mountains. And she even sewed trousers for the hill climbing from old curtains. This, in the 1970s, was still the era when the authorities only allowed one expedition to Everest every year. This meant a preservation of the environment, but also a long, long wait. So it was 1975 before the women's Everest team from Japan began their ascent of the mountain. At a very high altitude, they were struck by an avalanche. It damaged much of their equipment, and when they looked around, people were all bashed and bruised and concussed, including Junko, who had been one of their top potential climbers to the summit. She managed to have 2 days' rest, but they had lost some of their oxygen bottles in the avalanche, so there was only enough of a supply for one woman to be chosen, and it was Junko. And she climbed there to the top of Everest, climbing to the summit in May 1975. The attention was showered on her and the team. She wasn't too comfortable with this. She actually said, "I didn't intend to be the first woman on Everest. I would much rather be remembered as the 36th person to summit Everest." But she went on, inspired by the fame and by the fact that she managed it, to pursue more mountaineering summits. She was the first woman to ever complete the seven summits. That's the highest mountains on all seven continents. And never accepting this corporate sponsorship, decided to use her fame as best she could to really shine a light on that area of the world. Because the pull of Everest was now incessantly undermining the very wilderness that attracted people to it. The Nepalese government were allowing more and more expeditions to go there with massive amounts of equipment, which were very often used, then discarded. So, as well as the number of visitors to these remote areas, you had an immense amount of rubbish that was left behind, or even worse, strewn over the mountainside itself. So one of Junko's great passions in her later life was her great concern to preserve the mountain environments. First of all, around the Himalayan mountains, organizing expeditions which were essentially clean-up expeditions. You don't just climb up the mountain, but you make sure your big bag is full of rubbish and bring that down the mountain and try to amend the increasing concern she had for the ecology of that area. There, in fact, are now such pressures on these areas that although the money is much needed, people and organizations have looked to Junko to say that was the way forward. We must celebrate these areas, we must protect these areas, and the whole idea now of ecotourism and treading more lightly on the earth. Junko, in her later life, already accepted the need for this, but she saw her role as making sure the next generation have the ecological awareness. And again, in her later years, ordered and planned a succession of clean-up campaigns, not just in the Himalayas, but also in her own native Japan, taking crowds and crowds of school children up to these pristine lands, saying to them, "We must protect these. If we don't, we'll never have this countryside that we all cherish so much." In May 2003, there was a marvellously hopeful and beautiful celebration in Kathmandu, because, of course, May 2003 was the 50th anniversary of the very first successful summit of Mount Everest by Edmund Hillary and Tenzin Norgay. The crowds of Nepalese people gathered to cheer a procession of many past Everest climbers by then. And there, in a special place in the festivities, were Junko Tabai and Sir Edmund Hillary, the first woman and the first man to summit Everest. Junko sadly passed away in 2016, but she's not forgotten about by the climbing community, and nor has she been forgotten about in other ways. Because, you know, on Pluto, the planet Pluto, there's a mountain range named after our Junko. It's called the Tabai Montes, and it's celebrating her mountaineering achievements. Because that was the way that they named the mountains on Pluto. Historic pioneers who crossed new horizons in the exploration of the earth, the sea and the sky. So there's our Junko Tabai, the first woman who in 1975 climbed successfully to the summit of Everest. And I hope you've enjoyed me shining a light on this little known pioneer and also conservationist. Thanks again for listening. Bye bye.
TNF Soundings.